Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Do you understand? I know I haven't said anything yet, but if by chance I float an idea, you might understand it, or the other option is you might not. Actually, I suppose there's a third option. Perhaps, God forbid, I'm doing a terrible job explaining myself. I suppose it's possible, not that it ever has. Or it could be that the subject matter that I'm talking about, trigonometric functions maybe, or perhaps the variable horizontal ambulation of southwestern albino cephalopods, is perhaps complex, esoteric, or outright baffling, because it's something I just made up, like the one just now, to sound confusing. In these unlikely cases, there exists the third possibility, which is that middle state between not understanding and understanding. Now, if we take a slow motion video of this moment when a person is moving from not understanding to understanding, when the mists start to clear, the cartoon light bulb flips on, and when the truth gradually appears in all its glory, at that moment of understanding, there is a phrase that we use. I see. Oh, I see. Did you notice the way the language that we use when we speak of understanding is also the language that we use for vision? Mists clearing, light bulbs going off, truth appearing in all its glory. Even the verbs that we use to talk about understanding interchange with the words that we use for sight. Verbs like envision, or visualize, or revelation, or illuminate. Oh, I see. Similarly, when we talk about not understanding, we use the language of darkness. Could you shed some light on this for me? I'm in the dark. I can't see what you're getting at. This is a case of the blind leading the blind. The wonderful Christian minister and writer and thinker Barbara Brown Taylor has a book which she calls Learning to Walk in the Dark, in which she points out many big problems that we create when our religion emphasizes light as being godlike and good and darkness as mysterious, terrifying, and evil. This dualistic view of reality, she says, oversimplifies our relationship with the universe and our emotional lives also, and makes us fear the mystery of the divine. Some of you may recall that we read this together in a UCJ book group a few years ago. Barbara Brown Taylor is really onto something here, and I think her points are definitely worth preaching about some other time. What I'm interested in right now is not so much our assumptions about the goodness of light and the terrifying mystery of darkness. Allow me to focus our attention instead on how light and vision is connected to spiritual understanding. The narratives that we encounter in our Gospels lead us to the idea that seeing is something that involves more than just the use of our eyeballs. We see not only with our eyes, but also with our minds, and when we are spiritually centered, I think also with our hearts. To see is to perceive the truth that may be lying beneath the surface. To see, maybe, is to experience that moment of recognition when something that has seemed mired in complication suddenly makes sense. And this seeing, this clarity, is, at best, achieved with our whole bodies, not just our eyes. This idea that seeing is a spiritual sense is a kind of understanding that we experience not only with our eyes but with our whole bodies, is a notion that I would like to offer as a key to understanding this morning's scripture lesson from the Gospel of John. This, of course, is a story of healing. And like many of the healing stories of Jesus, the person in this story who is healed is blind. I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus frequently heals blind people. I would argue that every time Jesus heals a blind person, there is some collateral healing going on. He's not just healing the person, he's also healing the other people who might be present, and perhaps us too, those of us reading or hearing the story. The story heals many people by helping us all to see, helping us to understand. And here's another thing. Since in our minds we connect understanding and vision and lack of understanding with blindness, this gospel story leads us to the inevitable conclusion that the blind man is not the only blind person to be found in the story. In fact, with the exception of Jesus himself, the blind person may be the least blind person in the story. It is quite clear that physical blindness, the affliction of the eyeballs, is the least concerning form of blindness in this story. It is resolved quite quickly and early on in the story. The blindness that is stubborn and difficult to heal is the spiritual blindness of those who think they can see. But how is it that a person who can see cannot see, and a person who cannot see can see? Doesn't seem to make much sense. Let's shift our concentration for a second over to the nature of understanding. Because, of course, there are different kinds of understanding, right? If we concentrate very hard on a specific subject, take a class on it, maybe, or watch a YouTube video about it, or even perhaps crack a book and read about it, then this understanding, in this sense, is a process of learning something new, concentrating on it. But there is another form of understanding that we don't so much achieve as we just have by virtue of being alive in a particular culture. If, for example, you see a $100 bill on the ground, you are likely to pick it up because you understand from the cultural context that we share that that piece of paper with Ben Franklin's picture on it has a certain value. This second kind of understanding, the kind that is so much a part of who we are in the world that we don't bother even thinking about it, this, I think, is a kind of understanding that Jesus is trying to tell us is akin to a kind of blindness. Another name for this dangerous kind of understanding is assumption. An assumption is something we allow to control us even without thinking about it whether or not it should control us. In the case of the gospel story, the assumption that blinds the Pharisees is the assumption that it is a sin to heal someone on the Sabbath. This idea is so embedded into the worldview of the Pharisees that they cannot see beyond it. It blinds them to another far greater truth, that compassion for suffering of another human being overrides the obedience to doctrinal legalism. This conclusion seems pretty obvious to Jesus. It seems quite clear to the man who formerly was blind. And we are not terribly challenged by it. But the Jews of the first century were challenged by it. It threatened a very basic assumption, structural premise of their religious world. It would be like saying, oh, that's just a green piece of paper with a picture of Ben Franklin on the ground. It's not $100. Well, it is a piece of paper. Its value is only the value we give it. And it's not hard to imagine situations in which picking up that piece of paper could get in the way of doing something far more important. Imagine you are a personal care attendant for a person with a disability. You are told that for some bureaucratic reason, your job, which has been paying you $400 a week, now will only pay you $375, and over the course of a month, you will lose $100. It would be tempting to want to quit your job. Your culture has just informed you that you are worth $100 less per month than you were before. It's tempting to think that way. But if you think that way, you are allowing a cultural assumption of value to blind you to a far more important concern. Because, of course, there is someone there that God doesn't want you to forget. God wants you to see your patient, the blind man. How much is he worth? How much is he worth to you and to God? $100. Having slept on it, I discovered this morning, as I often do, that there is something disturbing about this cute little scenario that I've just painted. That $100 is not just how much you are valued by society, it's also how much you can live with dignity, have food on the table, and a roof over your head. When I say it's just green paper, I myself am assuming a level of privilege based on the fact that I could lose that Ben Franklin and not lose the roof over my head. Perhaps this too is understanding with the body. I didn't realize it until after I'd slept on it. Love is not always lovely and cute. Jesus, who suffered for love, taught us this. I'm not advocating suffering, but Jesus teaches us that to see value in its real spiritual sense is likely to involve suffering. The more basic the assumption, like the assumption that money has value, for example, the more we are blind to it. Spiritual vision, a vision that moves from God outward into the world, is a vision not of the eyes, but of the whole body. A vision that privileges healing. A vision that shows compassion for the sacredness of all life. All life. Amen.